The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as freemen, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father." They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus far this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I again urge you to read carefully the little presentations that are found in this week's bulletin. They are instructions that we should keep in mind, especially during these days. There can be no doubt, there can be no question that the historical events that have been taking place and that are still in the process of taking place are quite confusing and quite disturbing. And even as we go to bed this evening, it will be tomorrow elsewhere when great deliberations will be in the making. And we wonder, and we look, and we listen, and we think, and we speak, and we consider, and we are confused. We have in the past been confused when we saw, or have been seeing, have been watching, the events that have taken place in our lives. We are looking at the events that are taking place at the moment, and we are frightened. And we wonder about the events that are in the making to take place tomorrow and the days that follow tomorrow. We don't know, we do not know exactly how to protect ourselves from these events. We're frightened, we're concerned, we don't know how to evaluate. My beloved people, in every respect, regardless, these events, though they are very important, they will not affect us directly. They will affect us perhaps indirectly, but no less seriously. And we have to be careful. We have to maintain with strength and conviction and serenity of soul that which we know we are committed to. And what are we committed to? We're committed to our holy faith. That is the thing that we must keep alive. That is the element that we must keep within us, burning all the time, no matter what happens, directly or indirectly. It makes no difference. It is our faith that we have to maintain. And what does our faith demand of us? It demands that we do the things and live the things that that faith requires of us. It is not enough. It is not enough for us to live the points of that faith for that short period of time on a Sunday morning when we feel ourselves satisfied that we are living up to the requirements of that faith. It's not enough. Our faith has always been the strong point. But here, some years ago, quite a number of years ago now, there was an outcry that our faith was beyond reach, and for the average person, something should be done about it to bring it down to where it could be better understood, better accepted, better lived, and so on. And so, work began in very much in earnest, and it progressed, and our faith was taken from the high level of decency and importance and has been brought down to the level of the street. Our faith. And indirectly, not directly, that indirectly this episode, this labor, this work, this movement has affected the lives of every human being that walks the face of the earth. Some of us look back and say, no, we can't do that, we can't go that way. And we're right. We cannot go that way. That is not our faith. That is not what is placed upon my shoulders, because I myself say I proclaim that faith. I live that faith. I am committed to that faith. And indirectly, not directly, but indirectly, how do I fail? Because somehow I realize I'm failing because I'm looking. I'm in the midst of plenty. Plenty is all around me, all the time. I lack for nothing. But if I have everything, if I have the ability to reach for everything and to grasp everything, then why do I continue to look? Why do I continue to cruise the world? Why do I even try to look like the street? Our priests and sisters, so absolutely beautiful once upon a time, now look like the street. And we have come to think, perhaps, and to feel, perhaps, there's nothing wrong with what we are doing, because look at those that we are supposed to imitate. Look at the way they conduct themselves. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they talk. Look at the way they move about. Look at the way they teach. Look at the way they live. And because they proceed that way, it makes it easier for me to live like they do. And our faith has been trampled upon by the dirtiest, I say sometimes, I use the example of the hottest desert, but I think some of the dirtiest feet on earth are today trampling on our holy faith, our holy religion. And we walk away from that smelling just like that which has been trampled. The events that are about to take place, we do not know how they're going to turn out. We do not know exactly what we're supposed to pray for, do we? And even that which is the most sacred activity on earth, has become even something to be betted upon in the casinos of the world. What on earth are we up to? How streetworthy have we become? And the choice of the one who is supposed to be, the vicar of Christ Jesus on earth, is now something that is being betted upon. And the card sharks are moving about in this direction. What are we doing? What on earth are we up to? When we come to church on Sunday, our demeanor is churchy, as it should be. What is our demeanor between now and next Sunday at this time? What do we look like? What do we hurriedly take off the vesture that we take off the vestment? That we put on for this 1 hour on Sunday and quickly put ourselves back in that which is not noticeable, doesn't stand out on the street. This is serious, my beloved people. Our faith, of course, it is understood that our faith is in the belief of the divine. We know that. At the same time, our faith demands that we give some attention to those that have gone before us. And we have our prayer books bulging with the prayer of this saint and the prayer of that saint and the prayer of Saint Joseph and the prayer of the Blessed Mother and so on and so on. Our prayer books cannot hold any more prayer cards that bring to mind the lives, that bring to our mind the lives of the saints that are in there. I suggest because on all these prayer cards we have pictures. We have pictures of all the saints. We have pictures of the Blessed Mother. We have pictures of Saint Joseph. And all the other saints that we know of, I suggest that we have a picture taken of ourselves on off-duty moments away from church and insert that photograph in our prayer book and see how well it fits amongst the others. I suggest that we dare do that. And we read also the words of these saints, various as they are. Our Blessed Mother, of course, we can't very well read what St. Joseph said because he didn't say anything, but he did so much. And all the other saints. And I suggest further that we make a photocopy of our language of the things that we say, and so on. And I suggest that as we read the prayers in the prayer book that have been uttered by these various and sundry ones that have gone before us, and see how well what we have to add to things fits in with that which we say we should be doing. Now, beloved people, it might sound that I'm being severe, but in reality, am I really being severe? Are we not telling ourselves? Are we not trying to persuade ourselves that we, and are we not calling upon those that we tell ourselves we should imitate, we must imitate? We're calling upon them to help us in our misery. I call on Saint so-and-so to help me now in this particular problem that I am facing, whatever it is. And I use the language, I use the mentality, I use the demeanor that is appropriate at that moment. But as soon as I turn the page, what do I become? Why do I ask that saint, whom I have promised that I will try my best to do what that saint asks of me in return for that which is given to me by the workings of that saint? I promise to do that in return. But as soon as I turn that page, it's all over, isn't it? And indirectly, or another picture we could put in our prayer book, a good one too. That we should take a picture of the street and put it in the same location in the prayer book where the scene of Calvary is to be found. It will not, the prayer book, spit it out. If we are what we profess to be, what we have said we're supposed to be, what we have said we are committed to, what we have said we believe in, then we have to show this in our demeanor in every move we make during the week, in the way we dress, in the way we talk. Can we imagine the Immaculate Heart of Mary, whom we say we love ever so much, who we say we devote ourselves to completely? Can we imagine Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, looking like some people look today in the clothes that they wear? There's something wrong. And we are, if I may use the term, which I use it around here, and I perhaps use it so much that they laugh at me and tease me about it. No, they're fine. but I'm going to use it once here. That is, we have dumbed down the divine and have splattered it on the street. Have we not? And as a consequence, once upon a time, there was respect for that which was religious. And there was an amount of awe that was demonstrated in things religious, toward things religious. But today, there is not even disrespect for them. We just simply ignore them, as if they don't exist. Let us take a picture of ourselves, and let us put our picture in our prayer book. See what it looks like. I don't mean a picture of when I look real pretty on Sunday morning, but I mean a picture of when I get with it. Put that one in the prayer book. There is no excuse. We are consecrated people. We are dedicated people. We are people seeking earnestly the salvation of our souls. Therefore, the very thought of the salvation of our souls must remain uppermost in our minds at all times. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying here that I am suggesting, rather, I'm not suggesting here that we have to go outside today like some people go to the, because we're people of extremes. There are those people that want to dress like our blessed Lord dressed and walk down the street. There are those people even, I know here some time ago, up the street that we drive on to come to this church here, there was some genius that decided he was going to carry the cross of Christ. So he started walking from one city to the other on this highway here, bearing the cross of Christ. These things simply bring down to the ridiculous that which is holy. We can best reflect Jesus Christ, Mary his mother, St. Joseph his foster father, all of the saints that we know of, the 12 apostles. We can best reflect them by our demeanor of just simple, quiet, peaceful, elegant, dignified life and living. This will be noted. You remember once upon a time, though they weren't capable of it, of living extraordinarily, the apostles and those in the time of our blessed Lord. Remember, somebody asked a question, not that they said anything to provoke the question, but somebody asked the question, look how they love one another. Just by their demeanor. Today, one might as easily ask the question, simply by looking at demeanor, and ask or say, look how they hate one another. And we call this religion. Is this what Christ came to us to bring to us? We speak of the law and its application, and we should rightly do so, because there is a law. There is something that is demanded of us to live out that faith. But my beloved people, are we as easy to apply the observation of that law on ourselves as we apply it to others? The pendulum swings both ways. And if the law applies to Henry somebody, that law applies to me with the same kind of force and application. I am not the one to absolve myself of that law. So now, as we go into the wild blue yonder, which begins tomorrow, let us not become so filled with all of the hubbub and the excitement and the running and the picture taking and the interviewing and the this and the that and the other of what is taking place tomorrow. Let's go down to the kernel and say, where is our faith in all of this? And what must I do as a responsible son of God Almighty, a responsible daughter of God Almighty? What am I to do in all of this? And how am I supposed to live? Yes, my sermons are urgent. I won't give you the exact place where this took place. Some of you know. If you do, all well and good. If you don't, it's none of your business. To show you, I have to be careful how I use my vocabulary, because sometimes I become so uptight that I might give out with things, words that are proper, probably not exactly proper. But in any event, to show you how utterly foolish, just leave it at that, we are. There was a certain group in this world, on this earth, a rather prominent group, the traditionalists, traditional Roman Catholics, they labeled themselves. They had a pope. He died recently. They had another conclave, and they themselves have elected a pope. Most of you have heard of the prophecies of Malachi and how these prophecies have each fitted the exact pope that is reigning at that precise time. And one of the prophecies is that the last pope is going to be called Peter. Guess what? These extraordinary people have elected a new pope. This happened about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 days ago. It's not something that happened years ago. About two weeks ago or less. And he took the name Peter the Second. I do not call you, my dear people. I do not want to bring you down to the opposite end of the street, to the street that is totally insane. I want you and us to live a religion and a way, to have a way of life that if the Immaculate Heart of Mary should walk into your house unannounced at any time, that you would not be embarrassed at the opening of your front door. That if St. Joseph, that if our Blessed Lord himself would come and knock on your door for entrance, and that you would open your door, that he would find within your house a family, a holy family, that lives the way that he told us to live. Yes, my beloved people, there is urgency in what I'm talking about. We have got to go beyond just talking about something. We have to live it. And when we come into this building, or any other such building, wherever it is located on the face of this earth, that we don't come here to fight. We don't come here to knock down. We don't come here to downgrade. We don't come here to criticize or to make predictions or anything. The only reason we come here is to worship that which is on that altar. And that we have to assure that which is on that altar that our lives are going to be so arranged that what is on that altar will look upon us as acceptable. It's as simple as that, and as difficult as that, because it all boils down, and I simply have to quit, it all boils down into one little phrase which you have caught, you've heard here so many, many times. I have to, that which is in me, my ego, myself, has to be completely destroyed for that to be able to find residence in my soul. And until I am successful in destroying myself in that regard, that which is on that altar will not be able to find residence, proper residence, in my soul. It's as serious as that. And we have to, it is not in a matter of proving anything. That, my goodness, we've taken proving as something as gospel. The only thing that I have to worry about is me. And what am I doing? What am I doing to preserve, which is talked about in today's bulletin, the Christian order? What am I doing to preserve the Christian order? Or am I just going along with the flow? You, my beloved people, and we, my beloved people, you're not here by chance. I've said this before. And because you are here, that selection has placed grave, serious, unquestionable obligations upon your shoulders and upon our shoulders. And unless and until we live up to them, to those obligations, if we do not, if we fail to live up to those obligations, then we have failed. We have failed. my beloved people, God bless you. God keep you. God give you the grace that you need, the grace that we need, in order to live up to what we have to. There is no choice. It isn't a matter that we put a chain around ourselves and chain ourselves to the wall lest we commit sin. That's not the question at all. It's a matter that I have one thing to do, and I have to do it well. And that is, I have to reflect Jesus Christ and everything that pertains to Jesus Christ as best I can to anybody who looks at me. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You must reflect Jesus Christ. There is no other way, my beloved people.